All right. Thank you, Brother Nathan. You know what? If you were listening to the words, you already got the gospel this morning. That was a good message and song. Open your Bible to the Old Testament. I want you to go back to the book of Judges, familiar story. I have used this story more than one time in my ministry, but generally going maybe just a little bit different with it this morning. Judges chapter 6. And commonly it's referred to as Gideon's 300. And that'll not be what we're majoring on this morning, but Judges chapter 6, and kind of get the setting a little bit. We've come up now where Moses has led them out of Egypt. Joshua's taken over and got them into the promised land. And yet Israel has done evil in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites, or Midian, for 7 years. Then I'm jumping over, I want you to go with me, jump on over to verse 7 of Judges chapter 6. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. I think Gideon looked around to see who else was there. He didn't recognize that name. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? Or sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until I come again. I'm going to stop reading there. Rest of the story is, though, Gideon goes in the house. He fixes a real good meal, and he brings it out, and the angel of the Lord is still waiting. And he brings it out to him, and the Lord says, Put it over there on the rock. Then the angel takes a staff that he has in his hand and he touches it and it goes up in fire. It finally kind of dawns on Gideon, this is not just an angel. This is the angel of the Lord. Now, I'll throw a big word out to you that we use in college. It's called a theophany. It's an early appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. See, he didn't start in the manger at Bethlehem. He was in the beginning with God. And he wrestled with Jacob one night. You remember, there's an angel of the Lord. The angel means a messenger, but he also means an appearance. And here was an appearance of the angel of the Lord that finally hits Gideon. I've been in the presence of God. I've seen God, as it were, and I'll have to die now. And the Lord said, No, gonna spare you. You're not gonna have to die. And he's choosing Gideon for a job. Now, Gideon's full of doubts. And I entitled this sermon this morning for the tape room, Asking for It Again. Gideon said, let me see it again. Gideon said, I've heard of the miracles, but I want to see one. You know, asking for it again. You remember as kids, I know nowadays it's ridiculous. Two little boys getting a fuss in school now and it's a crime. In the old days, mom and dad didn't know about the fusses. In the old days, the kids didn't come home tattling on each other all the time. In the old days, they settled it and it taught them a little character. Help yourself. But do you ever hear kids, I remember it saying, he's asking for it. You remember that? He's asking for it. Well, yeah. I think about when I was small, before I ever went to school. Maybe 4 years old, five, we'd get the newspaper and mother would, you know, we'd look at the cartoons, my brother and I, and mother would read it and tell us and explain. And I remember the first time I ever saw a picture of Mickey Mouse and Goofy. Now, I go back just about to his beginning. But anyway, there's a cartoon of it there. Mickey Mouse had something like a crooked bar or something on the ground, and he was holding it. And Goofy was standing there with a great big sledgehammer. And Mickey was saying, now, when I nod my head, you hit it. And you could see that Goofy look on Goofy's face. And Mickey nodded his head, and sure enough, Goofy hit him on the head with a hammer. And then the final caption said, I mean, Mickey's standing there with a knot on his head, and why'd you do this? And Goofy said, you asked for it. You got what you asked for, more or less. And you know what? A lot of folks are doing just that. Now, Gideon here, in a good sense, he was asking. The nation was in trouble. Hard times was there. They were worshiping a false god called Baal. The economy was bad. Gideon was threshing fruit, wheat in front of the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. That's what you call an underground economy. He was smuggling that stuff, if you please. And hard times had hit. And I see a parallel with our nations. I see a parallel, yeah, even with America today. I want to say, folks, before long, we're going to be voting whether or not we have full-blooded socialism or not. We better remember Hitler was a member of the Socialist Party. You go back and check out your history. We look at this parallel. We're seeing today, we're seeing an underground economy, no doubt about it. We're seeing all the refugee crisis. Brother Boys has got a book on that you ought to read. I saw in the news this week where Germany, who's taken so many of them in, now they admit they've lost 130,000 of them. Don't know where they're at. Don't know where they're at. I mean, chaos is ruling across the world right now, no doubt about it. But you know, it appeared here to Gideon and to the Jews that God had forsook them, that he had rejected them. They'd done evil, but if you read the story, you'll find out God had a set time on it. He was going to let them suffer under the Midianites for 7 years. That's a number that God uses quite often with Israel. But Gideon was surprised here by the angel of the Lord. He wasn't expecting him. He was back there hiding. He was bootlegging his wine. He was afraid of the Midianites. And the last thing he expected was for God to show up. And so he doubted. No, he couldn't believe it. But in the discussion with the Lord, he asked for a miracle. In that discussion, he was saying, I've heard of the past. I know what our forefathers said. I know they tell the story of going through the Red Sea on dry ground. I know they tell the story of manna, of light bread falling from heaven. I know they tell the story of the Moses hitting the rock and the water coming. I know about all. I've heard about those miracles, but I'd like to see one. That's what he's saying, really. He'd heard about them. You know, we're like Gideon. If you've got any Christian background at all, if you were raised somewhat in a Christian family or a Christian community, from time to time through your life, you've heard somebody say something about a miracle. Maybe it was when somebody was near death in the family. Maybe it was some dreaded sickness. Maybe when the doctor said there's no hope. And they still tell the story about the prayer that went up and how that God did the impossible and saved their life. And so we could imagine all kind of miracles that we've heard about in a situation. Many that had been in the wars and came home. I remember when I first got saved in the little church I got saved in, and some of the men that came by and shook hands with me, saying they praised the Lord I got saved. Here I was a young man. They were older, many of them, and I remember shaking their hands. They were hardworking men. They were calloused hands. And I remember more than one of them, as I got to know them, giving me a testimony about when they were in the war, they promised God if they could get home, they'd get saved and serve Him. Now, I know every promise in a foxhole is not kept, but many of them were. And many of those men that shook my hand in the church I got saved in, they were living straight for God. They'd received Christ, and they looked back where God had saved their life in a battle time when they should have been dead and others were dying around them. And they gave that testimony, and we've heard those stories. We've heard those miracles. Here in our church, through the years, we've had many. I'm going to talk to you just a minute on one out of so many. We've seen folks raised up that were supposed to die. We've seen some die that didn't think maybe they were that sick. So we don't know. God makes a call. We don't. But He does give us the privilege to ask and to ask in faith. But here in our church, we've seen many. We're getting ready now Thursday morning to start the Radio Restore-a-thon. And that Radio Restore-a-thon now, through a number of years, we've seen some miracles. I mean, I can't explain it no other way than that. I remember the very first one, just a little old station out there on the 544. My son and a couple of the boys that he graduated with in school was out there running that first time that we tried to designate some time and take up a special offering one time a year. And I remember how that God got into that thing, and we joke about it with them right at the end. They got sort of slap happy, no sleep. And I remember the boys saying something like this. It was late at night by that time. It was pushing midnight. And they said, if we reach this goal tonight, we'll run around the building and holler. And some fella pulled up in an automobile that had been listening to the radio. He went and gave them enough to reach the goal and made them run around the building. Now, I mean, I got several memories of that sort of thing. You see, when I first came here to the church, we had a 15-minute radio program over that AM station. Didn't reach very far, just Haines City, pretty much. We kept that program. We grew. I turned that program into a Sunday morning hour from 11 o'clock to 12. And we kept preaching. I said this, I'd always preach just like I was not on the radio. Many of you can attest to that. We don't put on a show. We just go with what's real. And so for 2 or 3 years, I guess, we preached on the radio that way. And then the good manager that had it sold out, went up north with his grandkids or something. I don't know. Anyway, some jerks got it. First class jerks. And they painted up like Halloween. They started having something I'd never heard of to that time. They started having pornographic radio programs. No pictures, but had all the dirty talk. Here we are Sunday morning preaching from 11 to 12 on it. And people begin to tell me, well, they came to me and they said, we are going to raise your rates a little bit. And when I figured it up, sitting there at the desk, they raised the rates, all right, about 1,000%. So I said to the guy that came to me, I said, what you're really saying is you don't want me on the radio. He kind of smiled, said, I can't legally say that. I said, well, let me tell you something. I don't want to be on it with the dirt you got going over. And we had a little discussion, and he said, well, one more Sunday. So I got up one more Sunday, and I said this. Now, I did not prepare it. I had not thought about it. We had a lot of shut-ins listening to us and a lot of people that hated to hear this. But I got up and I said, you folks don't be too sad. And this just popped out, like a lot of things pop out of me. And this just popped out. And it went like this. Folks, if God wanted us to have that radio station, he could give it to us. I hadn't prepared that. I just said it. Well, the town wouldn't support that filth. They went out of business. They got to fighting each other. Lawsuits got filed. The station went dark. It grew up with weeds. Vandals broke into it. It just sat there. It sat there and it sat there. Long time. Then a man that was at that time a fairly new member of our church, he's moved off since, but he said to me at the door, why don't you try to get that old station out there? I said, I've checked into it. It's tied up in court. No way. He said, well, let me look into it. Sometime later, he came to me at the door, and he handed me something, I believe. He said, preacher, I'm giving that radio station to the church. He had cleared it up. He had put the money in it. He said, now you got to fix it up, which we certainly did have to. But what I said that just popped out turned to be prophetic. God gave it to us. And from that time on, we've been in the radio business. And from that time on, we've been having to raise the money and the budget to stay on the air. But I'm pointing out something to you that I consider a miracle. I consider it of God. I don't think it could have happened any other way. And to be the blessing that it has been. And I just want to say, I sort of feel like Gideon. I heard about him in the past, but thank God I've seen some in the present also. And Gideon was asking for something in the present. He was saying, do it again, do it again. Now Thursday morning we'll be saying, God, please do it again. Give us another one, give us victory again. We remember the ones in the past, but we can't live off of that. We've spent that budget, we gotta raise another budget. And so we need, and I want you to pray for another. We're asking for it again. We're asking for it again. We're asking God to do it again. Now, it's a battle of prayer. Did you know that? It's about folks giving, but it's about God speaking to hearts and folks responding to be able to do that. There's a real spiritual warfare that'll go on from Thursday to midnight Saturday night. Real battle, because we've done a lot at that station to make the devil mad. I mean, we've given him reason to hate us, and he does. If you consider what God has done with that station through these years, then we have invaded Satan's territory. We've set the gospel places he never wanted it heard. We've had folks respond that he never thought would have. Souls have been saved he'd have never thought we'd have reached. So no, he don't like us for it. We had our tower knocked down, and it was a freak thing, except I see the devil in that. Some guy driving a truck off the main road into the bushes where he had no business, hit one of our guide wires and bringing the whole tower down, and we still haven't been able to recover from that. By the grace of God, we are reaching pretty good, but not as good as we did when the tower was up. And it's taken all this time. Satan is in that. You'd have thought the insurance company would have put that tower up in a little while, but no, they're fighting in court about it. In court. Now, the devil don't like us, and he won't like what's going to happen from Thursday morning to Saturday night. And I want you to pray about that, because we're not only reaching souls, we're encouraging God's people. I don't know how many testimonies we could share of somebody being down in the valley and hearing the right song or the right word and being lifted up. I've got notes, and I know the radio station's got more than I have, about people that have been encouraged. And it's strengthened whole churches. I've had pastors, even what we'd call local in the county here. I've had pastors say to me, preacher, you don't know what an encouragement your radio station is to me, that the old truth is still being preached and folks are still responding to it. And it's an encouragement to preachers. Hey, can I give you a little secret? Preachers can get discouraged and they need help like everybody else. Made out of the same mud you are. And yeah, we can have our down times, but the radio station's been an encouragement. It's strengthened churches. It's strengthened preachers. I know some out of state, one guy wrote me a note. It was really great. He said, I came with my family to the area for vacation. He said, I was so down in the dumps. He said, I needed revival. And he said, I found your radio station. He said, for one whole week I had revival. He said, I went back to my church in out of state, fired up and telling them, oh, if we could just have that radio station. Well, do you know by God's technology, he could still listen to it. And that amazes me. Somebody told me the other day, I tried to get it and couldn't. I said, welcome to the club. I can't either. But I know it's out there because others get it that know how, push the right buttons and pull it up and look at it, and God is using it. So I'm saying to you, Gideon said, I've heard about the miracles in the past, but show me one now. Give me one in the present. And I'm saying to you, that's what we're going to be asking for this week. Can't live off the past. We've got to go forward in faith. And I'm asking you as a church to be a prayer warrior. I'm asking you to pray about all those things that we're talking about, because God is using a place to get his word out and into places that you never would have thought of just a few years ago. I look here in the story of Gideon. I realize that God took him and used him. I mean, what an amazement. Gideon, he said, I'm the least of my tribe and of my house. I'm a nobody. And the whole area, his community, the Jews, was worshiping Baal. And yet God encouraged him, but he was so afraid he'd done it at night. He went out and got a few men to help him, and they pulled down the idol of Baal, and that could have cost him his life. And the men come to get him, and his dad said, wait a minute. Are you guys protecting Baal? If he's a god, let him protect himself. Good answer. I paraphrased it, but a good answer. And the truth is, the nation was in trouble with God because they were worshiping a false god. America today is getting in trouble with God because we're getting false religion pushed all over us in our schools and everywhere else. And God's judgment is going to fall on that. And what we need is we need to say, all right, Lord, you've done something big in the past. We're going to believe you for something right now. And folks, if America's going to be saved, it's not going to be in the political area. It's going to be in the Christian area of people getting hold of God again to see this nation straightened up and corrected. Amen. Gideon here wanted to see something in the present, but God gave him something for the future. He told him, said, blow a trumpet. And all the crowd began to gather. And then, you know, the amazing thing was God said, you got too many. He said, if I deliver Israel by this big crowd, you're going to think you've done it yourself. You remember what? He said, all of them that are afraid, send them home. Well, it was a big crowd that went home. And then he sent them down to cross the river or the brook. And he told Gideon, you still got too many. And he said, watch them. The men that lap the water like a dog laps, keep them. The ones that take the time to get on all fours and drink, we don't need them. Send them home. Now, can you imagine how Gideon felt? Lord, you already sent most of my crowd home. I mean, it got down to where Gideon couldn't trust the crowd. He couldn't trust the number of soldiers he had. He had to trust God and God's plan that he gave him. And God separated down to 300 men. And he told them, said, you take a candle, a light, in a pitcher, put it over it, and you remember how it was, in a trumpet, and he said, go up to the camp of the Midianites, and on signal, you break the pitcher. In other words, they don't see the lights coming. They only see them when the pitcher's broke, when it goes on. But you know, Gideon was a little bit like us. He was skeptical. You know what God did in giving him the plan? He said, just take your servant, just him, and slip down and spy on the Midianite camp. So they slipped down close, and as they got close among the tents, they heard the men talking. The Midianites were talking, and one said to another, I had a dream. I dreamed that a barley roll came rolling into the camp and destroyed everything. And another man said, I'll tell you what that is. That's Gideon. And they were scared to death. God wanted Gideon to know, I put a fear in that place. A supernatural fear. God had a plan. He sent them into the camp, and then Gideon followed God's plan. You know what our church, Landmark, here has been doing for years? We've just been following God's plan. You heard the song service this morning. You could understand the words. We didn't dance all over the place while we were singing. Amen. We had a message. You heard the last one on the piano a while ago. If you didn't hear any more gospel, you heard the truth just a while ago in song. I'm saying to you, we're following the plan God gave a long time ago. Now, I'm not totally dumb. I know there's some new things that work here and there and ought to be. But so many times the new leaves the basic truth behind. So we're just following God's plan. It's a proven plan, one that he's used before. Gideon here had to follow God's plan. That's what we're doing. We're giving out the same old-fashioned gospel. We're telling that all men are sinners. We're telling men that the wages of sin is death. We're telling men there's only one way for your sin to be forgiven, and that's to get it on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that loved you and died for you on the cross. We're telling men that if you'll trust him with your sin and believe on him, you can be saved. Same old message preachers have preached from the book of Acts on. That's God's plan. God's plan works. The gospel still is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And God wants us to do that. Still stick by the same thing. Yeah, we've heard of the miracles of old. And we still believe we serve a miracle-working God. Every time a soul gets saved, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. There's people on membership of this church that people in this town and family said they'll never be saved. Oh, no, they'll never, they're past hope. No, they were not past hope. And they got saved, they followed God's plan for their lives, and now to see what God has done with them, you can't compare it, Harley, you can't imagine it. It is a miracle in the real sense of the word. God followed Gideon followed God's plan. We're following God's plan today. And we still believe God will give the victory when we do it his way. Gideon got the victory. Boy, there was a time there when they blew the trumpet and hollered the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And you know what those Midianites did? They began to kill each other. They began to run. God gave the victory. And he's the only one that can give the victory. The good news is he wants to give the victory. You may be here today and you say, my family's all messed up, split up, kids are all fouled up. I want to tell you something. Here's God's plan. Come and receive Christ. Give him your heart. Follow his plan. He's got a plan for you. You can see families restored. You can get off of that dope habit or that alcohol habit. You'd be surprised how you can see the Lord break the chains of slavery that the devil has put on you. If you'll come to Christ and follow his plan, he can give the victory. Amen. I don't care how big the mountain looks like. God can take care of it. He certainly can. You know, I think about this thing of seeing people saved and their life change, and Jesus giving them the power to live different than they ever lived before. It starts with somebody trusting Christ as Savior. And from that point on, God don't drop you. He's got a plan. Question is, will you follow it after you've trusted Christ? Souls are so important. It's important to our church. That's why we keep on telling the story over and over about how Jesus loved you and died for you. I think about a number of years ago, and this has happened more than one time, and I'm thinking of one particular incident. A number of years ago, I got a call, and actually it was from a young lady that I had gone to school with. She was a couple of grades behind me, and I knew her from those days and had not seen her in a long time. And she said, "Brother Mickey, I'm calling because my dad is getting close to death. He's feeble, he's sick, he's in the sick bed. And she said, I want you to go visit him." I knew she was a member of another church in the area. And I said to her, "What's the matter? Is your pastor out of town?" She said, "No, but if you go talk to him, you'll talk to him about his soul." Now, that's not too good a commentary on a pastor that's supposed to be in the soul-saving business. I did. The man got saved, and he did die sometime after, and I did have his funeral. I just want to say to you, I think we all ought to specialize in getting souls saved. That's God's plan. That's the plan for the future. It's the only plan that's going to hold up for the future. And the truth is today that I don't mind our church being gossiped about and even lied about, as long as we stay with God's plan and keep doing what the Lord wants us to do. I don't believe God is through until the trumpet sounds. We ought to keep on keeping on doing what we're doing, telling folks there's hope, there's victory. I don't know what kind of defeats in your life. I don't know what you're suffering from this morning. I don't have to know that. All I have to know is there's a Savior that can take care of everything. Amen. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you this morning, if you'll come trust Him as Lord and Savior, He'll make that difference in your life. He'll break the chains the world has on you like nobody else can. He'll make a new creature out of you. The old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. Gideon said, "I know about the past. You did it then. I want to see something now." God showed him not only now, He showed him the future. Brought him through to the victory. He'll do the same thing for us today. And I challenge you this morning. Would you like to have the peace about what the future holds? You only get it when you know you trust in Christ as your Savior. Let's bow our heads. While our heads are bowed, how many of you can say, "Preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven because of Christ, Him, nothing else, not church membership, not baptism, but just Christ." If you can say that by the uplifted hand, would you say it this morning? Lift that hand because you know it, not because you hope it or wish it, because you know you've trusted Christ. Thank you. You may put them down. Are you here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not